Taste of Country Nights with Evan Paul on demand, season 2, episode 19, with The Rock and Chris Jansen.
I mean, Jansen, I've known you for a while. Cover your ears. I gotta ask The Rock a question, man. Rock, was he all, when he first met you, was he all like, do you smell what The Rock is cooking? Or was he cool?
Oh, dude, he was so cool. Oh, if you smell nothing. No. Hey, DJ, good to meet you. I'm Chris. Can you take a picture with my son? Oh, yeah, I'm happy to.
Now, you might be wondering what these two are doing together. The Rock is featured in Chris Jansen's new music video for his song, What You See Is What You Get. And we got to sit down and talk to the two of them on this episode of Taste of Country Nights on demand. If you missed any of our past episodes, you can go back and visit. Last week, we talked with Lainey Wilson. Before that, Brothers Osborne. Chase Beckham, Keith Urban was on the show. Just search for Taste of Country Nights on demand wherever you get your favorite podcasts. This podcast is part of the Town Square Media Podcast Network.
Okay. You're the best.
With no problem. What's up, guys?
Hey.
I already told him. I said, now you got to watch out for this guy.
He did.
Hey, man, what's happening, guys? As the story goes, you guys met in the parking lot. Y'all bonded over Hank Williams. Chris, I know you hang with Hank a lot. Rock, have you met Hank?
No, I can't wait to meet him. No.
You haven't met him?
No, dude.
Oh, God. Okay. Now, there's another whole part of the story that literally just happened, Evan, just right this moment in real time. Okay.
Yeah.
That's all I need to know.
No, I know. I cannot wait. I grew up on Hank Jr. and I like Chris, I like to say, by the time I was 8 years old, and this is a true story, I could sing every Hank Jr. song and most of Hank Sr. songs. And, dude, by the way, have you ever heard, I bonded with my dad. That was our bonding time over country music for years and years and years.
False.
There's a very cool, Hank Jr. narrates it about his dad.
Oh, dang. No, but
it's incredible.
Fabulous.
So
Hank, as you know, Evan, I've told you this before, but and DJ does not know this, but he just told me that Willie Nelson gave him his first guitar. Well, Hank Jr. put me on my first Tennessee turkey, a little turkey hunt.
Wow.
Put me on my first Tennessee turkey, and I got those pictures to prove it. It was pretty amazing.
Wow. Dude. Yeah, that's crazy. Did you get the cannon? Rock, he wants to get a Civil War cannon.
Okay, so thanks for asking. I do want to get a Civil War cannon. I don't have the cannon yet. I'm still on the search for one. I did find out, though, that there's talks of Hank might be getting rid of a few of his, so I'd like to get one of those. It's just like, in those moments, I'm like, do I spend the money on a cannon that I'm never really going to use? Because it's really just vanity. It's just like going to sit there, and I'm going to go, man, look at that cool cannon that I have. So the answer is no, Evan. I'm still thinking about it.
But if it comes from Hank, that's different.
Well, it'd be a lot different, you know, then. As you know, and I don't even know if I've shared this with you, but off script just a bit, but I cut out a lot of the vanity in my life about 6 months ago after Thanksgiving, after meeting a homeless boy who spent dinner with us. He didn't even know this.
No.
But we had a boy who was 18 and he's been homeless most of his life. And he'd been living in a box and he was at our house and he was invited by my nephew and he had spent lunch with us at Thanksgiving. And I was so impressed by his love for life and just his lust for just getting up in the morning. And he didn't care what he had on, what he was wearing, what kind of watch he had or what I had or the cars or houses or anything that comes along with the entertainment world. And after that day, I woke up at 2 o'clock in the morning, had a real spiritual awakening. And you know how I'm a faith driven person. And I woke up, the Lord woke me up in the middle of the night and he said, get rid of the vanity in your life. And I'm telling you, When you get those messages in your heart, because you've told me that you've had these messages before.
Yeah.
When you get those messages in your heart and you know it's what it is, I got rid of all the vanity, Evan, since I saw you last. I got rid of my watch collection, my car collection.
Oh,
I got,
man.
Not because of any other reason, and I just wanted to clean house a little bit. I wanted to make sure that my legacy is cemented as I go along, as not the guy who had you over to show off what I did or what we have, but as the guy that you want to hang out with. And so along the way, he didn't know that, but meeting DJ along the way, he's that kind of guy, Evan. So that's why our friendship, and you know, you and I are close over the years, but this is why our friendship worked, because when you meet people, when you align yourself correctly, you start falling into place with the right people.
Yeah.
And it's just really, really incredible, off base. But I just wanted to say that with the canon talk, if I get one, cool. And if I don't, I'm okay with it.
I mean, Jansen, I've known you for a while. Cover your ears. I got to ask the Rock a question, man. Rock, was he all, when he first met you, was he all like, do you smell what the Rock is cooking? Or was he cool? Was he cool?
Oh, dude, he was so cool. Oh, if you smell nothing. No. Hey, DJ, good to meet you. I'm Chris. Can you take a picture with my son? Oh, yeah, I'm happy to. He was so cool. But by the way, he, so much so that we laugh about it now. We were talking for 10, 15 minutes and just shooting the breeze. And Kelly came up and said, I'm so sorry to interrupt. He's never going to tell you, but DJ, I know you love country music. He sings country music. And I went, what? He wouldn't even say it. And then I was like, wait, no way. And usually when you hear that kind of stuff, it's like, oh, okay, maybe he just started, and oh, good for you, kid. Wish you well, and however I can help you out.
You're right. You're so right.
You're
so right.
And then I start, it's like pulling teeth out of Chris, and then I come to find out that I said, well, man, I love country music. I grew up in that. A lot of my growing up was in Nashville. I wanted to be a country singer. I tried to get into Tootsie's, tried to get into all these honky-tonk dive bars when I was 15 years old. And I would sing Hank Jr. songs, Blues Man. And I just happened to go, because again, I thought he was maybe just starting out. So I said, I'm just a singer. And he goes, a natural boy. He starts singing. I was like, oh, no, the song.
Yeah.
And he goes, well, yeah, I sang it last night at my show. I was like, what show? And then I come to find out he's this big country star. Yeah. He's tight with Hank Jr., wrote for Hank Jr., right?
Yes.
Wrote for all these other, has number one hits and member of the Grand Ole Opry. Just blew my mind. So point is, there is an indication of actually his humility and his not leading with, hey, Rock, good to meet you. I'm in the entertainment business, too. And, you know, my name is Chris Jansen. I got some songs on country and a couple of number one hits. Nothing. No.
On the flip side, Rock, hold your deal. Jansen, was he trying to get like, hey, man, let me get into Opry, man. Let me sell out.
No, he was actually, and may I add to, I appreciate what you said, and I thank you for the compliment. Man, I just want to be clear that when I believe it's important, especially in our business and in the entertainment business as a whole, is that, you know, most places I go, people know at this point. Everywhere he goes, people know at this point. Everybody knows this face. But it's always important to keep a grounded point in yourself, no matter who you are, what level of life you're on in the world. There's always, and it's very important, I think, to keep a level mindset of there may be somebody who doesn't know you, and how are you going to affect that person in that moment, right? And you always walk in and assume just because you're a Grand Ole Opry member or you're a famous actor or you're a famous wrestler or you have number one hit songs that everybody knows, because they don't. And he didn't, and we didn't. And that's how our real friendship
starts. That's our beauty of it.
That's right. That's,
yes.
See, because we're out on a real level, yes, playing field, not look who I am and look who you are.
Right.
Yes. It has nothing to do with that. So that was really the beauty of it. And that's how the conversation has just continued to culminate so naturally with, you know, him. He's going to join me on the Opry at some point soon, probably this year. And with the video even and all these things. And like I always say too, you know, legacy is a big thing. And I like to, you know, I don't just put on face for humility, and he doesn't either. It's just a part of where my heart is. And I just know that I want my legacy to be cemented someday as not the guy who had cool videos, hit songs, and fame or fortune. I want to be known as a great guy that people wanted to hang out with, because, you know, that's a big thing. I mean, do people want to hang out with you because what you have or who you are, or do they want to hang out with you because of who you really are inside? And that's what I love. And that's why we, you know, became friends and have a great relationship, is because that's what it's all about. It's about the real in life. And we don't get those moments as often as we would like. And so shooting the video was a real, real, real moment. And it was a lot of fun. Just like sitting here today, this is unscripted press time, man. And you know, from a trailer park kid from the middle of the Midwest, did I ever think I was going to be sitting next to a real life hero in The Rock? You know, like a guy who not only plays one but is one to the world. No. And so, you know, it's a huge blessing to be able to reach so many people on such a positive level.
One more question, Rock. Other than Jansen, give me your top three country artists of all time.
Oh, man, all time. I don't know if I could do three, but I'll do Hank Jr., Merle Haggard, Willie Nelson.
He guessed all of them. He guessed all of them. That's awesome, dude.
I would say that. Yeah, and George Jones, you got to throw him in there, too.
Okay.
See you, man.
Thank you,
y'all.
Appreciate it.
Well, to say the least, that was a whole lot of fun. Now, I want to shift this podcast here to a bonus with country newcomer Zach Top. He sings a song that's all over the radio called Sounds Like the Radio, and we had some time to speak with Zach Top here. Evan Paul here with Zach Top. What's up, dude?
Hey, man. Just happy to be here. Another day above ground.
Man, you're playing the song on the radio. It's starting to get a little out of hand, man.
I appreciate that.
Yeah. Your new album, Cold Beer Country Music. What is the most personal song on that album?
Ooh, that's a good question. I feel like Use Me was a pretty real song for me. And that one, one of my favorites on there, one of my favorite songs I've ever been a part of writing. It's kind of a, you know, it's real raw, real song. It ain't pretty, but I love the song. And it seems like, you know, folks have resonated with the fact that it's real and authentic. And I don't know. Everybody's loving it so far.
What do you like to do more, write sad songs or happy songs?
Oh, it's always easier to write the sad ones. I got to make sure and like work to make sure we're putting some fun stuff in there. People ain't coming out on a Friday night to cry their eyes out. We got to work and make sure we got some up-tempo fun things.
Is that important as an artist? Like as a commercialized artist, like now that you made it, like I always hear from a lot of artists, like the label wants tempo, tempo, tempo.
Oh yeah.
So is it hard though, because you want to sad, sad, sad?
I think if I like look at the most iconic country songs, stuff that made me fall in love with country music and stuff that just, you know, stands the test of time for decades and decades and decades. It's always the big old ballads that really, I don't know, speak the most to me that are, you know, the best songwriting and the best, melodies and stuff. So I'm always trying to chase that, but I love honky tonk and I love having an upbeat, you know, fun thing. I want people to raise their beer in the air and stomp their feet. So it's, okay. You know, I love writing up tempo stuff too. It just seems like for some reason the ballads always come more natural.
Yeah. I know Mount Rushmore, but just give me your top three influences that influenced your sound.
I would say Keith Whitley, probably the biggest influence on my singing. Merle Haggard, just as far as being like, I feel like he's just one of the most complete artists, being a player, being obviously the phenomenal singer that he was, once in a lifetime type of voice, and then writer, the amount of songs he wrote, and great songs. There ain't a bad one in there. And then maybe George Jones was another big influence on my singing.
Wow. Who put you on to all these people? Because surely as a kid, you weren't like boom, I want to play Keith Whitley.
Pretty much I was. It was, you know, the first thing I remember, my folks had George Strait playing in the house, you know, nonstop. That was their favorite. So grew up on a lot of that. And then on a lot of Marty Robbins too. We loved cowboy songs. Anything to do with that was, I was really into. But I was, you know, 8, 9, or 10 years old starting to, you know, I started playing when I was 5 years old and wow, took it real serious. I played guitar probably for 3 hours a day, you know, from the age of 5 to 15. That was, my folks had a briefcase of cassette tapes and they had a tape machine down in the basement and I'd go sit in a little music room and put them tapes in one by one and try and learn every one of them on guitar and learn the words to them and sing them and stuff. And so, you know, they had a bunch of that old country stuff and I just loved it. I was ate up with it. I didn't want to hear anything else.
And have you gotten to meet any, I mean, obviously some of those people have passed, but
yeah,
have you gotten to meet any of your other idols?
Man, I think the coolest one I've got to – I did get to shake George Strait's hand down in San Antonio.
Okay, wait, okay. So we need to know, was it Mr. George, Mr. Strait? What, like, how did you refer to
Man, him? It's – so I went and played his golf tournament. He's got a charity golf tournament, yeah. And they invited me down there to, you know, play a little music and be in the golf tournament. And I just met him the last night of the – tournament is, you know, he puts on a show, it's his whole band up there, and I got to go up and sing a few of my songs with his band, which was wild. But I met him later on in that night when his fine tequila Cody Go was flowing freely, and so I can't remember if I called him Mr. Strait or if I just said, hey, so, George, or whatever.
But all right, wait, walk me through it. So yeah. You walk up, you see him, or he sees you?
I think I saw him. I don't think he's got a clue who I am.
Okay, but. And you're like, dog, there's George. I'm going to go say something.
Yeah, I went up to him. I think I was just like, hey, man, I don't want to bother you. Like, you're the first reason why, wow. You know, wanted to play guitar and sing. And, you know, it's just an honor to meet you. I kept it short and simple. Didn't want to wear him out because I could sure fangirl pretty hard on George Strait.
Right.
The other coolest one that I got to play the Opry with Vince Gill. And when he had me up to do One More Last Chance with him, and we ended up writing a song together too a couple weeks after that. And he was just nice as can be, coolest guy. And, you know, another just the complete artist that he was. Phenomenal, phenomenal player, great writer, obviously crazy good singer. That was a really cool one. I told him when I met him, I was like, man, I'm going to try and not be awkward, but like, there's not many people left alive that I'd be really starstruck by, and you're one of them. So,
wow. But you made it through cool it.
We did. Yeah. I got his phone number and stuff. I think he wasn't too scared of me.
When do you use that Vince Gill phone number? Like, when's the time? When do you think you text him? Like,
oh, I don't know. He said, don't text him.
Call?
He said, you can text if you want, but I'm going to call you back. He said he doesn't text.
So. Oh, wow. So Vince Gill doesn't text.
Yeah,
so,
only a caller. Which, I mean, I prefer that anyway. People text me way too much. People text me and I call them back. So I said, that works for me. I'll just call you then. So it would need to be a pretty important occasion or a big ask or something. I don't know that I'm just going to call Vince on a Tuesday night or something, you know.
Like for lawn mowing advice.
Yeah, exactly.
Are you someone that spills like all the details about your personal life into a song, or do you save some?
I don't spill all the details. I think it's hard to, you know, writing is a very personal experience. It's, you know, you're going to pour some of yourself out into it for sure.
So, but you stay abstract, and are there some songs that on this album that are kind of abstract, where it's not you necessarily about you?
Yeah, I think I don't want to write it so specifically about my own life. I think when you get into that, it almost makes the songs you got to write for everybody else too. Like, you can't make it too introspective and too specific to yourself. You're gonna pour out your experiences because oftentimes, you know, your experiences aren't that different from other people's. And so it's going to be relatable, but you want to make it, you know, kind of universal feeling so that everybody else can resonate with it too. So I think it's a fine line. It's good that people recognize when you pour out something real that you actually feel, and a genuine experience for you. And if you can pour it out in a way that's, you know, universally, relatable, I think that really resonates with folks.
Okay. And you're a straight country dude, like old school, like you're Tom Selleck type, like in the 80s, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But you're on a platform, TikTok, that is very modern and very.
Yeah.
How do you think, you have hundreds of thousands of followers, why do you think the traditional sound and look that you have cut through on such a modern platform?
I think people are starving for stuff that's real, that, you know, isn't filtered and prettied up and made perfect. And so I think, you know, the only thing I've ever done on TikTok is sit there with my acoustic guitar and play and sing for them. And, you know, there's no lip syncing and no hanky panky with it all. And I think people appreciate that. And I think it stands out a little bit. I would say that'd be my best guess why it's worked. I don't know for sure, but I'm sure glad it has.
Dude, that one, there's one of you playing a song on a boat?
Yeah, oh yeah.
Okay, dude. But hey, if that ever starts running out, just go shirtless, man.
Yeah,
I'm
amen.
Telling you, that's how you relaunch. That's how you relaunch.
No, Evan, I ain't much to look at. I'm going to keep my clothes on and let my voice do the talking.
3 years ago, you did your first TikTok.
Yeah.
I think I have it up here. Yeah, this guy.
Oh, there you go.
I was like, and every head turns. How have you grown since then? But also, how have you stayed the same?
I've grown heavier, that's for sure, and I've grown a mustache.
Okay.
But
okay.
No, I was out in Colorado. We were working on a development up in Granby, living in a dang bunkhouse up in the mountains there. It was the dead of winter right there, and I'd sit in my room in the bunkhouse and make these little videos every now and then for folks. I think I've grown more into like having my own thing. For a long time as a younger artist, you're just like everything that you like, you try and emulate and you're chasing around. When I sing a Merle Haggard song, I try and sing like Merle Haggard. And when I sing a Keith Whitley song, I try to sound like Keith Whitley. And at some point if it's going to work, you need your own thing. And so at some point I think I found, some amalgamation of all the different things that influenced me and that I was a fan of, and made it into my own thing. I think that's probably the biggest growth I've got there. But I mean, other than that, I still love all them same old country songs and ain't changed much in that respect.
Is there anything you're into that's not country? Like Harry Potter, sneakers, video games?
Let's see. I tell you, I'm a big old Lord of the Rings fan.
Oh, there we go.
That's not necessarily very country.
No, let's hear it.
Yeah. I mean, just always have been. It was funny. When I was a kid, I had a huge fascination with it. I would try and recreate the weapons that they had and stuff in Lord of the Rings. I'd make them out of wood. I'd, make battle axes and swords and all this different kind of stuff. And
that's cool.
Run around and just beat down sagebrush with them. It could be cool. It could be real nerdy. I don't know. I had a good time with it.
Are you still into it?
I still love, yeah, I love the movies. I guess I don't make wooden swords anymore, but maybe I should try. I've gotten kind of boring in my old age. I think I was a lot cooler as a kid.
Okay, you need to add that to your backstage rider. You just
there you go.
Lord of the Rings stuff in
yeah,
the back.
There you go.
What's the best advice you got from someone inside country music?
Inside country music? Well, it'd probably come from Carson Chamberlain. He's my producer and kind of the guy that brought me to town. The best advice? Gosh, he's given me a lot. I'll say one that I didn't expect that was kind of counterintuitive to me. When I moved to town, I thought I'd start playing bars and playing every night and doing that whole thing. And he told me, absolutely not. Don't you dare do that. You keep working your day job. We'll write a couple days a week and stack up a bunch of songs. And his whole thing was to kind of keep the town a little bit at arm's length and it builds sort of a mystique and a buzz about you. It's like people are aware that you're around, but they can't find you nowhere and they can't go see you. And so, nobody can get burnt out on you if you're, playing six nights a week, all around town. It's kind of, you can be a little bit one in the crowd, I think. And at the time, it pissed me off. I was like, I moved out here. I'm not wanting to still swing a hammer. I'm in Nashville now. Let me play all the time. But looking back on it now, I think, that was solid gold wisdom there. It makes a lot of sense to me now, and I think it worked out for sure for my benefit to go ahead and listen to him.
That is good advice, yeah. Though, it turns out.
Yeah.
So what was your childhood like? Like, give me some details.
Yeah, grew up on a farm, ran around, I don't know, outside of making swords and battle axes out of wood. I made lots of bow and arrows too. That was fun. We had animals growing up. So, always had a good little herd of goats, handful of horses around the place, a few head of cattle here and there, chickens and, dogs and cats to take care of and all that. So, grew up doing the chores down at the barn from an early age and, spent my fair share of time on horseback as a kid. I can't believe I didn't get hurt more than I did. It's kind of funny. Just looking back on, it's kind of funny to, I mean, people still do it. It's just the way you grow up in the country, I guess. But it is funny to, think about. My mom just turned us loose when we were done with our school. I was homeschooled. So, that's another interesting detail about me, I guess. But she'd turn us loose out of the house when we were done with schoolwork. And it was just kind of, be back when the dinner bell rings. And so we just, had our run of the place, had, I don't know if it was 20 acres or 40 acres or whatever it was. I was too little to remember, but we go down there and mess around on the horses. We had, you know, a couple colts at one time. I must have been 8 or 9 years old or something, and I got a one of them colts gentled down to where he'd let me ride him before anybody even broke him. So, and then the other one, I could not. He was, every time I got on him, he just unwound, threw me over a panel one time out of a round pen. I only ever got one concussion from falling off a horse. And that's what I'm saying. Messing around with unbroke horses. I don't know how I didn't get more hurt than that. But, you know, it was a lot of that, just a bunch of chicanery, building forts out of the haystack in the barn. Okay. And, you know, ran around with, I got a little brother and a sister that we're all a year and a half apart. So we were kind of thick as thieves running around doing all that nonsense
you
together.
You had to castrate a cow?
Oh, yeah. Did plenty of that.
Yeah.
Goats, dehorning goats.
And, yeah. You
know, all kinds of good stuff.
That's when you know you made it.
That's
like
right.
In farming, attended, when you castrate a cow.
Oh, yeah. That and brand them and all that. We did it all.
So you're going on the Laney Wilson Country's Cool Again Tour.
Mm-hmm.
Have you met Laney?
No, I ain't met her yet. We texted a little bit. I'm buddies with her boyfriend, Duck. And so we've hung out a good bit, golfed a little bit together, and just, you know, hung out in general. It was funny. He gave her my number, and she texted me and said, "Hey, it's Laney. Duck gave me your number." I texted her back. I was like, "I knew I should have never given him my number. He's going to hand it out to every floozy in town." That was kind of funny. No, I'm super excited. She's been so supportive so far, you know, just on the phone and through social media of what I've been doing. She's been really kind to me and excited to get to know her in person and hang out some on the road this year.
Did you know Duck before Laney? They were dated?
No, not before they dated. They were already dating when I met him, but I can't remember how he got my number, if he reached out to me through Instagram or what it was. But he was just like, "Man, let's hang out. I'm a fan of what you're doing."
Is Laney going to be pissed, like, when y'all are out on tour and you're hanging out with Duck more than her?
No, I doubt it. I'm sure she's got plenty to keep her busy. If me and Duck go golf every day, I doubt she'll mind.
Okay.
She's probably going to be pissed that Duck wants to hang out with me all the time and I steal her boyfriend.
That's what I'm saying, man. What's the most surprising thing on your Spotify mix or on a playlist? Ooh.
That's interesting. Good question.
Like, I would turn it on and be like, "No, this isn't Zach's."
Yeah. That's hard. I don't think much of it's very surprising.
Really?
I really love, you know, some classic rock stuff.
Okay.
So, I mean, that gets a little bit outside.
Give me an example, like Guns N' Roses or like?
I think a little softer now. You know, like Genesis. Love Genesis stuff.
Okay.
Foreigner and... you know, I like me a little Whitesnake.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
I can, you know, get down with Motley Crue.
There you go.
I don't know. Yeah, all sorts of stuff like
that.
Okay. Yeah.
And what do you got coming up this year other than the tour and this album? What are you working toward for 2025?
Man, we'll hopefully 2025 is, you know, the first proper official headline tour. Need to start putting that together before long. Stuff gets booked out so far. So I'm excited for that. And, you know, hopefully we'll end up in a bus. We're still riding around in a Sprinter van. So hopefully we can get a driver in a bus and we can all quit, you know, me and the band can quit taking shifts driving after the shows. And,
okay.
But, you know, just little stuff like that. I'm just happy to be doing it, man. I'm having so much fun and trying to soak up every bit of it, not get too, you know, try to not get too focused on the next big thing and just enjoy where I'm at right now, because, you know, it felt like a pipe dream for so long. And I'm just thankful that, you know, I've gotten even this far.
Here we are. Yeah, man. Well, thanks for coming by, dude. We appreciate
it. Appreciate it, man. I enjoyed it.
Yeah, man. All right, we're going to bring in Billy Dukes from behind the camera to talk about these interviews that were both different yet similar.
Real kind of combination of two worlds for you, wasn't it? The Rock and Chris Jansen together. Chris Jansen, we've known forever, gotten good friends with him, and then The Rock shows up. It felt random. On level 1 to 10, how excited were you for this
one? 10 for sure. I thought it was going to get taken away. You know, I was one of those, like, as a kid, you know, like, where you're promised candy, and then I just figured maybe they wouldn't, you know, because I've had a couple of these in my life where I'm like, Ah, man, like Snoop Dogg one time, the first time I was going to ever interview him.
Yeah.
And I sat around and waited, and he never called, you know? So it's
got stood up by Snoop Dogg.
Yeah, so, I mean, it was like, whenever you go out of genre or whatever, you just never know. And sure as all, when the Zoom camera came on, there is The Rock showing exactly how small Chris Jansen is.
Yes.
Comparatively.
I mean, Chris Jansen's a very skinny man.
Yeah.
And The Rock is a very big... Were you satisfied with your Rock experience?
Yeah, I wish I would have had more time, but it was cool. You know, I spent most of the interview just trying not to act like it was a big deal, you know?
Yeah.
But I thought it was cool hearing about... Like, I had no idea about his Nashville roots and that he that he lived here and randomly came here from Hawaii... and that his dad and him listen to Hank. I didn't know that his first guitar came from Willie. Like, there's a lot of things I certainly never would have thought of with The Rock.
So a little background on this particular interview is, first of all, Chris, like, that's a genuine friendship. Like, he didn't pay The Rock to be in the video, like often happens, I think, with celebrities.
Yeah.
Like, The Rock did it for free. But also, I think it's important to note, like, we didn't get any sort of, like, don't ask about this or you can only ask about this. It was just like, hey, they got this video coming out. You want to talk to The Rock and Chris Jansen, which is awesome.
It's great, yeah. I wish I had more time. But the thing is with Chris is that he's very talkative. So, you know, once you get him going, you know, he wants to keep talking. And I knew that that was going to cut into The Rock time. But it was still cool to hear both of them. And to see the video is even cooler.
What, like, what Rock-centric question did you have that you didn't get to ask? Like, if you had unlimited time.
I don't even know.
Where would you have gone?
Like, I don't know. Like,
acting, wrestling, historical wrestling.
All of that. And then I would wrap it up with, why weren't you in all of the Fast and Furiouses instead of Vin Diesel?
Right.
That's my big question. I don't know why, but no, I would ask about old wrestling and different things. I am a little upset that I've heard The Rock say, if you smell what The Rock is cooking a million times, but when I was on the line with him, I said, do you smell what The Rock is cooking? But Rock didn't correct me. Now, Rock in wrestling world would have been like, what did you say, jabroni? It's if you smell, not do you smell? But he was very cool about that. So I think that... You know, you get the Dwayne version instead of The Rock. And I think he's taken a lot of his career after wrestling to transform into that. But and I asked his people, like, do I call him The Rock? Do I call him Dwayne?
Right.
And they were, you know, he goes by everything. Call him everything. You know, but there are some people that try to shake their previous alter egos or whatever, but he's not one of them.
He's done a miraculous thing in that he can kind of slip in and out of that character whenever he needs to. And that's a hard thing to do. Like, I feel like you see him in an interview like that, you don't think of him as The Rock.
Yeah.
Like you would like Hulk Hogan or like some of the wrestlers from the era that I grew up in. Like the Ultimate Warrior is always going to be Ultimate Warrior. He was never going to be Macho Man was never going to be Randy.
Right.
It was always Macho Man. But The Rock, he can go either way.
Yeah, and
the switch.
Yeah, you're right. And now that I think about it, I mean, they gave me the go-ahead to call him Dwayne or DJ, but I'm not calling him Dwayne. Like, that's The Rock.
Yeah, Mr. Rock.
Yeah, I didn't know what I didn't know if it was going to be Mr. Rock, but I think what just came out of my mouth was Rock instead of The Rock. So I just started referring to him as Rock, you know? But seeing him and Chris Jansen... interact with each other was a really good moment for country music. Now, The Rock has been known to sing in WWE and bring a guitar out. The last time he did it was in like Memphis, I think. Could there be, Chris did mention in the interview that The Rock is going to play at the Opry. I just read there's a Major League Baseball star, Adam Wainwright, putting out a country album. Could there be a Rock country album on the horizon?
Maybe a cameo on a song or like a single drop maybe.
And is it with Chris Jansen or is it with like a Luke Bryan?
Maybe Chris Jansen playing harmonica on it.
Okay.
You know, blowing a little harp.
Okay.
For, you know.
That would be cool.
I mean, just kind of a scratch your back, I'll scratch mine kind of deal between the two. Like, I feel like that'd be the... And what would the move there?
What would The Rock be doing? He would just be singing, or would he be trying to play something?
I think he's probably just singing, but if he's on the Opry, maybe he brings out the acoustic if it's a real simple three-chord kind of song.
Okay.
Because you figure that even if you're The Rock, the Opry, you're going to be a little nervous. You don't want to get complicated where you're trying to switch between five, six chords, or your F minor or your G augmented or whatever. You know, if it's CGB, maybe he's got it.
But do you think that the people at the Opry are going to be like, what is happening? Or do you think everyone is going to be excited?
Never forget that they let Chewbacca mom take the stage of the Opry.
Really?
Yeah. Oh,
with the mask, the Chewbacca lady?
No. They got The Rock. They don't care what he
Why
does.
Did it's they like, do that?
It was like, they don't care what happens.
Okay.
Yeah. He gets the play. And they know he's safe. He's not going to go up there and curse or something like that.
So is that like The Rock is at the Opry, or is that like Chris Jansen's at the Opry and then The Rock shows up? Or is that like pre-promoted?
I think it's a surprise.
Okay.
Is my guess.
Interesting.
That's a good question.
And then does he do other things like the Ryman?
No, I don't think he tries to sell hard tickets for a Rock show. No. You pick your spots.
Okay.
Maybe an award show appearance, a CMA Fest appearance, perhaps.
Well, let's go back to the 90s. I believe it was Kenny Chesney and Peyton Manning. Who was it?
Chesney and Peyton are friends, and that was
they went on tour. There was a time where Peyton Manning was a rookie.
All right, but that was probably just a few select shows.
Okay, I'm
people
just
were
saying.
Paying to see Kenny.
I'm just saying, The Rock could go on tour. I mean, this could be a thing.
Yeah, but The Rock's not a rookie.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, let's not overlook Zach Top here, because I thought this was a great interview with a young artist who had a lot of personality and sachet. Like,
yeah.
I enjoyed getting to know Zach Top in a way that sometimes you don't always get from new artists.
Yeah, definitely. And he's very confident in what he wants to be and what he is. And I think that's really cool, because you get a lot of artists that come through that talk about how in their early years, they just kind of did what the label wanted them to. And anytime you get these artists that are... what's the word I'm looking for? Like an older contemporary?
Yep. Yeah. Traditional.
Traditional.
Yeah.
Anytime you get traditional artists in here, I'm always like, wow, like you've made it to me. You made it here as a traditional artist, which is tough because in the record label wants like current, So I think that's cool that he stuck to his guns and he's really doing well.
I always get a little bit nervous with these artists that have viral success first or success elsewhere first, that they're going to try to not do the interviews or the media.
Yeah.
And I think Zach Bryan is like the example of that. You know, an artist who blew up, he didn't need media. He hasn't done any radio interviews. He's done like Joe Rogan and that's it, for reasons I don't fully understand. So it's always nice when like artists are coming up in that traditional sense, they have some viral success. It's like, oh, okay, cool. They're going to extend a hand. It can be a great beneficial relationship there.
Yeah, and the other two Zachs aren't very talkative. You know, Zach Brown and Zach Bryan.
Right.
So maybe this Zach is going to be the guy we go to for all of our Zach advice.
There's room in that Zach lane.
He's the most talkative Zach so far. Could that change with success? I don't know.
The most talkative Zach since Zach Morris, really.
That's true.
Right?
Wow. That's true.
Zach, and that's the end of my Zach list.
I don't think there are any other ones.
Don't press me any further.
All right, that's good.